Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie. This is The Reason Podcast, and we are talking with Michael Cannon. He's the Director of Healthcare Policy at the Cato Institute. Michael, thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Trump is no libertarian, and he was not the preference of either of the people on this call. But when we turn to your chief policy concern, you are a leading critic of Obamacare. Trump has said that he wants to, you know, he's going to get rid of it, and he's going to repeal it. Are you happy about that? At the very least, and he's going to have a Republican Congress to work with.
I think that healthcare reform is important. I'm dedicating my career to it. It's not the only thing that matters. And on balance, I think that Donald Trump is going to be worse for freedom than Hillary Clinton would have been. But healthcare reform is one area where he might be better if he follows through on his pledge to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something better. And it really should not be too hard for Donald Trump and Republicans and the Republicans who are going to control Congress to repeal Obamacare. Of course, it won't be easy, but Obamacare is sort of already collapsing by itself.
What has Trump promised to do, and what have the Republicans laid forth as an alternative?
Let's talk a second about what Trump needs to do or what he can do to make sure that Congress repeals Obamacare. He can do four things starting today if he wanted to. He could announce that the subsidies that a federal judge has ruled violate the Constitution that the Obama administration has been giving to insurers participating in Obamacare. He could say, we're going to respect that judge's ruling. We're not going to appeal that ruling. Those subsidies are going to end on this date certain. So insurance companies are not going to be getting those billions of dollars. He could say that the other stream of subsidies, those were the cost sharing reduction payments. He could say this other stream of subsidies, the reinsurance payments that the GAO said the Obama administration is illegally diverting to insurance companies participating in Obamacare, $3 billion so far. He's going to say the GAO has ruled those are illegal. Those payments are going to stop. He could say we are going to fight vigorously the lawsuits that insurers have filed against the U.S. government to try to get even more money because they're participating in Obamacare, whereas the Obama administration has said we might settle them and give the insurers a big payout. He could say we're going to fight those vigorously. The insurers are going to get nothing. And finally, he could say that the exemption that Congress has been getting from Obamacare will end on January 20th of 2017.
Yeah.
If he does those four things, then I guarantee you Congress is going to reopen Obamacare in early 2017 and likely repeal it. And so, but the reason is that by doing those things, by ending these illegal bailouts and the illegal waiver that or the illegal exemption that Congress got from Obamacare, it's going to be building a lot of pressure in Congress to do something, putting a lot of pressure on them to do something really just by implementing Obamacare the way it was written.
Right.
And showing that it is unsustainable and it's going to collapse. Now, what should they do? How should they replace Obamacare? Well, that's going to be the harder part. And it's going to be harder because the dominant Republican idea right now, or I should say one of the two dominant Republican ideas right now, is basically to replace Obamacare with Obamacare Lite. A lot of Republicans, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, have coalesced around this idea that once you get rid of Obamacare, you should create this thing called a health insurance tax credit where the government reduces your tax liability by a set amount if you buy a government-designed health insurance plan. But think about this. The government is defining what kind of health insurance you have to buy, telling you you have to either buy that or you'll pay more money to the IRS. And because these so-called tax credits are refundable, that means that a lot of people who don't owe money to the IRS are just going to get a check from the government. So you've got a lot of redistribution in there. You're basically recreating Obamacare with a Republican imprimatur.
And does it have it? So it does not have an individual mandate per se, but it really kind of loads the scales towards buying.
Well, they don't call it an individual mandate, but it really is an individual mandate because it operates exactly the same. They're doing it under the taxing under the taxing power, so Chief Justice Roberts would approve, and creating a penalty on people who don't buy a government-designed plan. It's going to give the government as much control over your health insurance policy as it has under Obamacare. There's going to be as much redistribution as there is under Obamacare.
Right.
And even they're even mimicking the centerpiece of Obamacare, which is its pre-existing condition provisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's just code for a scheme of government price controls. Republicans are advocating, not just Republicans, but conservative think tanks like some folks at the American Enterprise Institute are advocating that Republicans mimic Obamacare's community rating price controls by creating so-called continuity of coverage price controls that prohibit insurance companies from charging actuarially fair premiums if people switch plans.
Wow, so it's kind of like rent control for healthcare almost, or rent stabilization. What is the other Republican plan? And we should point out that the Republicans took their sweet time coming up with, you know, actual replacement plans. But what's the other main Republican idea?
Well, healthcare has never been a Republican issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it in the ideas that they've put forward. They mimic Democratic approaches to healthcare so closely. That's why I think the members of Congress who have introduced the second approach really deserve praise. They are Jeff Flake, from Republican senator from Arizona, Dave Brad, a Republican member of the House from Virginia, the one who ousted Majority Leader Eric Cantor. They've introduced a bill that would expand health savings accounts. But they would expand health savings accounts in a way that could totally revamp the way the federal government taxes healthcare, or more precisely penalizes people if they don't buy a government designed plan. And in effect, what this HSA expansion approach could do is effectuate a $9 trillion tax cut. $9 trillion is the amount of my earnings and your earnings and everyone else's earnings that we have to surrender to our employer and let our employer use to choose our health plan. They do that because there is another penalty, another mandate in the tax code that says either you give your employer this money or you have to pay higher taxes. Well,
in saying that, what you're pointing out that what our employers spend on health care, we do not get taxed on as if it's regular compensation. So in creating the HSA this way, we actually get to continue to spend money on health care without being taxed on it as compensation.
But the way to understand that supposed tax break is that the federal government is basically telling you, you got to give $13,000 of your income to your employer. You've got to surrender that to your employer and let them use that to choose your health plan. Because if you go to an employer, if instead you want that money as cash, you get that money from your employer as cash, we're going to penalize you by taxing that money, subjecting it to both payroll and income taxes. So that's a huge tax penalty unless you give your employer control of $13,000 of your income. That doesn't sound like a tax cut to me. That sounds like a tax. And you add up all that $13,000 across all the workers over the next 10 years, and it adds up to $9 trillion.
Hmm.
So what the Flake-Brad approach would do is it would allow people to control $9 trillion of their income that they currently cannot control. In effect, a large tax cut, but without increasing their tax liability to the federal government at all. And then they could choose a health plan that stays with them from job to job, a health plan that they like rather than one their employer likes.
Do they subject the health plans to any kind of certification process to say that it meets certain minimum requirements or government mandates?
Anytime you have any sort of subsidy or tax preference, the government has to define what is eligible for that tax preference. So if people want to take their money, that $13,000, put it into a large HSA, large health savings account, and then use it to buy health insurance tax-free, it's got to meet a government definition of what is a health insurance policy that's eligible for tax-free HSA purchases. However, that's different. So it's similar in concept to the to the health insurance tax credit. Mm-hmm. That I was likening to the individual mandate. But important in a couple of, or different in a couple of very important respects. One of them is that because you would have the option not to buy health insurance and save that money tax-free in your large HSA, that mandate or that government definition of what you of qualified health insurance is much less scary. And because you can do that, because you have that freedom, that definition is going to be less burdensome because providers and others don't have the won't have the incentive to lobby Congress to require you to buy coverage for acupuncture and mm-hmm. And mental health and alcoholism and drug abuse coverage and other things that you other types contraceptives coverage, other things you mm-hmm. may not want, because they can't be sure that you're then going to buy that coverage because right. you'll have the freedom not to buy it and save your money tax free. So does it completely eliminate the tax code's role in healthcare? No, but it is a dramatic step toward free markets. Whereas if you repeal Obamacare and replace it with health insurance tax credit, then you're taking one step away from a government-run system mm-hmm. and then take that same step back toward a government-run system.
Is there what is your sense policy or which approach is dominant among Republicans or is likely to win any kind of legislative battle, which will include Democrats as well?
I think it's really a jump ball at this mm-hmm. point. Because Republicans, you know, have not coalesced around this health insurance tax credit mm-hmm. idea, partly because a lot of them sense that this is just Obamacare light. This is just mimicking Obamacare's major provisions. And, you know, if they fought Obamacare for 6 years just to repeal it and then implement it themselves, mm-hmm. I think that the flake brat approach is much more in line with Republican and conservative and libertarian principles because it builds on something that conservatives and Republicans are already familiar with, which is health savings accounts. And as I said before, it does take a step toward a second step. Once you repeal Obamacare, it takes yet another step in the direction of free markets. And I think that the more they look at it, the more Republicans will sense that.
Talk a little bit about, and we'll end with this. You know, why? You know, remind us of why free markets can actually improve not only the quality but the quantity of healthcare. That's something that has been lost, it seems, in many conversations over healthcare, because you know, part of it was Democrats or supporters of Obamacare or of a single payer plan were saying, we need the government to pay for this because it's too expensive. People on the right oftentimes were saying Obamacare is going to destroy Medicare itself, a single care payer. What is the argument about bringing market forces to bear on healthcare, which is often seen as something that is distinct in its economic structures from, you know, buying hamburgers or hot dogs or something?
Well, so healthcare in the United States is an absolute mess. We are paying way too much for what we're getting. The prices for medical services are opaque and too high. Prices for health insurance are too high and climbing too rapidly. The worst part is that the quality of care and the quality of health insurance is so poor, and especially with health insurance, it's getting poorer as a result of Obamacare. But the great virtue of the U.S. system is that because it is so fragmented, there are corners where we don't have one great big government-run program for everybody. There are corners of the healthcare sector where market forces have been given room to breathe, where we have a whole panoply of government programs and tax preferences or tax penalties, really, and mandates and regulations and so forth that have completely distorted the market and inhibited market forces. But there are some corners where market forces have been given room to breathe, and they have produced amazing things, amazing innovations that show that markets can reduce prices and improve quality at the same time.
What's an example of that? Okay, yeah.
Two examples. out in California, some insurers did an experiment where they said to people who are getting colonoscopies or hip and knee replacements, here's how much a quality hospital charges for this stuff, and that's how much we're going to pay you. And if you want to pay more than that, you're on the hook for that. So these patients who before were totally insensitive to the cost of their hip and knee replacements and colonoscopies were all of a sudden asking their providers about it, and just making the patients cost conscious in that way caused price competition among hospitals and caused prices to fall by an average of about $16,000 for hip and knee replacements. So that shows you how inflated the prices are because of all these government interventions and how much market forces can bring the prices for these services down. Another example is in the market where insurers buy or where consumers buy health insurance directly from insurance companies. Prior to Obamacare, insurance companies had been innovating, and they offered in 25 states a product that says to people, look, come to us, we'll apply for an insurance plan, we'll quote you a premium, and then you can either buy that insurance plan, enroll in it immediately, or for one-fifth of that premium, so instead of paying maybe $5,000, you pay $1,000 a year, you can buy the right to enroll in that plan anytime you want, enroll in that underlying health insurance policy anytime you want, no matter how sick you get in the meantime. So if you pay that 20% of the premium and then you get cancer, you can enroll in that health plan paying the same premium that healthy people pay. I call it pre-existing conditions insurance.
Right.
And imagine how that would have revolutionized the market for health insurance for, say, college students or people who are generally healthy, they may have enough socked away for an acute medical episode, but would want to buy health insurance if they got a chronic long-term illness. Imagine how much more of the healthcare sector would be directed toward the cash market, where you have some of the cost consciousness that we saw driving down prices in that experiment in California. These are the corners of the healthcare sector where market forces have shown that they can make healthcare better and more affordable and more secure. And that is why we need to repeal Obamacare. And that's why we need to replace it with expanded health savings accounts. And then not even stop there. We need to reform the Medicare program, reform the Medicaid program, and keep on pulling government back, because the more we do, the more we're going to help the most vulnerable.
All right, we will leave it there. Thank you so much. We have been talking with Michael Cannon. He is the Director of Healthcare Policy at the Cato Institute. Thanks so much for talking to us, Michael.
Anytime, Nick.
This is the Reason Podcast. Check us out on SoundCloud. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. For Reason, I'm Nick Gillespie.